You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Your light must shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So given what Jesus says here for us in the gospel today, and what our first prayer spoke about, talking about the family, it's appropriate today in our series on the sacraments to really go over what the sacrament of matrimony is all about. Where is it and what's that leading? Because in our culture we see it, it's so misunderstood, the sacrament of matrimony. It's abused, it's perverted. So we as Catholics need to regain that understanding of it being marriage, being between one man, between one woman, who give themselves totally, freely, faithfully, fruitfully to one another for the whole of their lives, placing Jesus Christ, God, at the very center of it, so that it may be nourished. And when they do so, it becomes a sacrament. A sacrament, just like we've been talking about all these weeks, so that we, as the salt of the earth, Catholics, have to uphold the dignity of marriage. We, as the light of the world, Catholics, we must let the beauty of marriage shine forth in our lives. And so that the fruits of the family may be seen and to cause the whole entire world to give glory to God, our Heavenly Father. That's what marriage is supposed to be. And so we could easily spend 7 weeks just going over this sacrament. So many great things in it. But because time is limited, I just want to focus on three things. Three things in this sacrament, and really just three words. That is covenant, sign, and power. Covenant, sign, and power. Those are the only things that we'll focus on today. And I want to do something a little bit differently than I did for all the other masses. It just came to me in this moment. So we're going to go through various scriptures right here from the rite of marriage to plug them in here and show how they work into these three things. So let's start, as we always have, review. Review, this should be something that reoccurs to you, maybe as a nightmare in your sleep. We go over it so often. What's a sacrament? What is the definition of a sacrament? It is an outward sign of an inward transformation instituted by Jesus Christ that gives us grace. Gives us grace. And so what is grace then? Grace is the divine life. God's divine power lived within us, and he places us in it. Why? He puts it into us because he wants us to be holy, to be saints, to achieve the end for which he has made us, to be with him forever in heaven. And we can't do it on our own, so he puts his very life into us, his grace, so that we can achieve it. That's why he gives us. And sacraments are signs, right? But they're not just regular signs. They're special signs. They're signs which bring into being, bring into existence what they signify. The example of baptism, which we use all the time. When a child or a person receives baptism, their skin is washed. But their soul is actually the thing that's cleansed from all unrighteousness, so it is perfect in the sight of God. The child is ritually drowned in that water. But what really happens is that they rise from that water with new life, the life of God. So all things are made new for them. They are the beloved son and daughter of God the Father forever. Sacraments are signs that are full signs that change reality. But we also talk about that last thing about sacraments, is that they're not magic. What do I mean by when I say that they're not magic? It means that we have to be willing to let the grace that God wants to thrust into us actually take root. We have to let it happen to us, because if we resist him, it's not going to happen. I tell you all that story all the time when I'd come down here for Eucharist every single Sunday, and I shouldn't have, because I was in sin. I shouldn't have, because I didn't recognize what was actually happening, and because of that, I didn't receive anything. It became an empty ritual, because I wasn't willing to let God do what he wants to do. I wasn't ready to accept what he wanted to give me. And so nothing happened, because sacraments aren't magic. I have to be willing to let them happen within me, to receive God's grace. That's all review. How does it fit in with matrimony? Our first word. What's the word? Our first word is covenant. Covenant. And understand covenant. I want to use this scripture, which we always use, often use, in matrimony, in marriages. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know it as the love chapter. Everybody loves it because it says love is this, love is that, love is whatever. But it leaves out one thing in it that is necessary for us to understand what marriage is. I don't know why it leaves it out. It makes me angry every time it's chosen, because this is the part that's most important. What it says here is it says, when I was a child, I was into childish things. But when I became a man, I put all those childish things away. That's an important thing for knowing what a covenant is. Because what's a covenant? We don't use that word very often, do we? Sometimes it's easy to understand what a covenant is if we look at its opposite, right? So what's the opposite of a covenant? I want to talk about it as this idea of a relationship that is really an idea of consumer relationship. What's a consumer relationship? It's like when you're going out there to buy something and you get it from this person because you like what they're giving to you. But if you find somebody who can give it to you cheaper, if you find somebody who can give it to you in higher quality, get it to you better, you're going to leave that relationship and go to them. Because in a consumer relationship, we're interested in how is it that you are going to take care of me? You're the one who needs to change so that I feel better about it. I don't need to adjust. That's the way we deal in business relationships. Problem is that a lot of people take their dating or their marriage relationships in that perspective. That's why you see people moving from one person to the next person to the next person. Some people take it into marriage, and so that they live successive serial monogamy with others. That's not what God said, right? Jesus said something different, didn't he? He said this: one man, one woman, till death do you part. He doesn't leave any other caveats. This is what Jesus made marriage to be. And so what's a covenant then? We know what it's not. It's not that consumer relationship, but marriage is a covenant. And a covenant relationship is important because it's more than just my needs. A covenant relationship says, I'm going to adjust to fit your needs. I'm going to change. A covenant isn't just a legal contract that describes the exchange of goods or services, but a covenant is about an exchange of persons. A covenant says, I give you myself, my being. And the other person says, I give you my being, my very self. Accept it, take care of it, maintain it. I trust that to you. Because of that idea of relationship, that's what we have to have when we're entering into a marriage. What it says there is that I put my life in your hands. I put my soul in your hands. And for those of us who've had bad marriage relationships, we know what that's like. It destroys us because we put our life into hands that aren't going to take care of it. So if we can't look at that person who we're dating, if we can't look at that person who we're trying to get married to, and they don't have that idea of covenant, of fully giving themselves to another person, fully accepting them to care for it, if that's not what they're thinking, that's not a relationship you should be in. It's a relationship that's going to end in abuse. It's a relationship that's going to end in use. Because it's a consumer mentality. I'm only going to be with you as long as you're pleasing to me. Covenants don't say that. Covenants is when a couple has that commitment to faithfulness, a commitment to totally giving themselves over to the other person in marriage. And when that happens, two things really amaze me about it. And I want to share those with you. These two things happen in really good marriages and what marriage is supposed to be. The first thing is that he or she can finally have the freedom to be him or herself. That's an important thing, because everybody, always, every one of us is guilty of this. We go around our whole lives wearing masks because we want to hide something that's in ourselves, because if we think if we pull that down and show who we really are, nobody's going to accept us. They're not going to want to be around us anymore if they see our flaws, if they see our wrinkles, if they see that we don't look as good at noon as we do at 6 a.m. in the morning. So we put on those masks. We want to shield ourselves. But what marriage does Marriage in this covenant allows us to take those masks off and throw them away. Because this person says, I'm going to love you no matter what. I'm going to care for you no matter what. I'm going to be with you no matter what happens. And so we can cast that mask away. That's one of the great graces of marriage, an amazing gift. She likes me for me. He likes me for me. The real me, not the mask. But the second thing that it blows me away about marriage is that when two people enter into marriage, they have freedom from what I like to call the tyranny of feelings, tyranny of emotions. What do we know about emotions? It's that sometimes they're going really high, but not long after that, they're going to go real low. It's always an ebb and a flow, a fluctuation. And so marriage can't be based on a fluctuation. It can't be based on something but changes. On your wedding day, think of it. Those great emotions. I love it when I get to marry a couple who come together. It fills me with great joy because they think that that day is going to be the happiest day of their life, and it's going to be that day for the rest of their lives. Is that the way it works? Absolutely not. You're all smiling, laughing at me, looking at me, asking us, because you know it's true. That's a great day, but then comes the day after, and sometime after the honeymoon, and then the first big fight. All these things which cause difficulties. If we're basing them on our emotional state, how many of us would still be married? If I was basing my acceptance of my vocation to be a priest, would I still be a priest? No, I would have left a long time ago. But it's not based on emotion. That's not what it is. Marriage frees you from that. Marriage frees you from being able to just look at those things. Often what we hear is that somebody says, look, I just don't love her anymore. Or, look, I just don't love him anymore. What they're really saying is, I don't feel warm, fuzzy emotions when I'm around that person. Well, so what? So what? That's not what love is. Love is not emotions. Love is a choice, a permanent choice, a choice for the rest of my life. And you got to keep making that choice each and every day if it's going to last. That's what love is. It's not an emotion. Marriage frees you from that tyranny of emotion, tyranny of feelings. That's what a covenant is and does. That's the first word. But the second word, sign. It's an important thing. What's the sign of marriage? Does anybody know? The sign of matrimony, the sign of marriage. Ah, it's not the ring. It's not the ring. That's an important thing. It's we got some good things about it. But that's not what the sign is. The sign is something else. The sign is not the ring. It's something extraordinary. What it is it points to Jesus Christ himself. It points to the cross. It points to the love of Jesus. Let me give you a scripture on that. The scripture I want to give you is here. It's St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 5. And we read this at weddings a lot of times people don't want to read it because they think it's against women or something like this. But this is what it says. It says, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Whoops. Where is it? It says, wives, submit to your husbands in all things, as unto Christ. Husbands, love your wives. That seems like a hard thing, right? Why does the man just have to love the woman, but the woman's got to submit? Makes us think about something there. It's a sign of marriage. It's actually a lot harder to love than it is to obey. Because what is love? Love's what you see on that big plus sign behind me. That's what love is. So the man has to be willing to die, to suffer for his wife. Otherwise, he doesn't love her. Otherwise, he's not obeying the scripture. That's what it's talking about. Remember, sacraments are special signs. Signs that make their reality actually present. And so, Albert, what you have here, you cause within you. You have a cause in a miraculous way toward your wife, Geraldine. The love of Jesus Christ to enter into her. That's what God has called you to in marriage. You have to make Jesus Christ's love tangible inside of Geraldine. That's what God has called you to. That's what he's given you, a grace. You have a mission in marriage, a matrimonial mission to make God present in that other person. That's what marriage is about. To help your wife each and every day with every word, with every action that you take in service of her, to show her God, to show her Jesus Christ, to make sure she knows him so that she can be with him forever in heaven. To make sure she knows his love, his mercy, his strength, his compassion, his very passion, which is suffering. That's an extraordinary task. I can tell you, you can't do it. Flat out, you can't do it. You're not powerful enough. Because that brings us to the third word, which is power. Power. You can't do it, so you need help. Sacraments, what are they? Review the definition. Sacraments are an outward change of an inward transformation instituted by Jesus Christ that gives us what?
Grace.
Gives us grace. And what is grace? God's life, his power, his strength to give you something, to be able to do something which is beyond your own human capacity. You see, that should be an encouraging word for us, shouldn't it? It should be encouraging, especially for us who are facing difficulties in our marriage, within our relationships, within our lives. Why? Because the gospel isn't about just trying harder. That's not what the gospel is. The gospel is not about trying harder. It's about reaching toward God and the grace that he wants to give you. He wants to put it into you, but you got to let it happen. You got to receive it. That's all you have to do. Gospel is about power, God's power. And the reason why it's important to get married in the church isn't so that somebody can write you a check to help pay for bills that you're going to have. It's not so that you can have an opportunity to get your family off your back because you did the right thing. Getting married in the church isn't about having a great, beautiful photo op here with Father because he's so great, or here in a beautiful church. That's not what marriage is about in the church. You get married in the church because grace, because of power, because you need it. What happens when you're married in the church, when you have the sacrament, it brings God's power into your relationship. And if you aren't married in the church, you don't have that power. Flat out. You don't have the power you need to make Christ present in the other, to make him felt and known, to make that relationship happen. It's just like what happens in a priest. See, a priest, he has his hands laid onto him and he is given divine power so that when the priest goes and has little gifts like bread and wine and he infuses that with God's power, it still smells the same. It still tastes the same. It still looks the same. Everything about that bread and wine sees the same, but it's not. It's not the same. It's God. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so too it is with marriage. Marriage, what happens there is that God does something. It looks the same. It smells the same. Everything about that couple looks the same as somebody who just went to the justice of the peace. Looks exactly the same, but it's not. They don't have power. The married couple have the power of God living within them, changing them from within, bringing Christ present. You have access to God's power so that when you have a difficult moment, you can turn to God and you can say, look, Lord, you promised me something. You promised that you would be there, that you would make this marriage work, and we are struggling at this moment. I don't know how to love her, and she doesn't know how to love me. Make our love perfect by your love. Those who are married in the church have access to that power that is transformative. That's good news. That's the sacrament of marriage, which gives you access to God's grace. Sacrament of marriage makes God's love present in your life so that you can love your spouse beyond what your human capacity to love is, so that God can hold your marriage together. That's God's plan for marriage. His love perfecting your love. So what I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you at the end of this homily, those of you who are married couples who have been married in the church, I want to ask you to stand. To stand because we want to pray over you that your marriage may be what marriage is supposed to be. Because each one of you is living in an arranged marriage. Did you know that? Each one of you who are married in the church are in an arranged marriage because you didn't find him. He didn't find you. God found you and brought you together and arranged for you to have this sacrament. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, what God has put together, let no man tear asunder. God's put you together if you're in a sacramental marriage. God has arranged for you to come to accomplish that mission which he has put before you in your life. Your mission first, to make Jesus present in that other person, husband, that wife. Secondly, to make Jesus present in those children which spring up from the marriage, either naturally or spiritually. And thirdly, so that the rest of us can look at your marriage and say, what has God done here? Amazing. That's the kind of love that God has for me. I see it in them. So if you're married in the church, go ahead and stand right now. We're going to pray a blessing over you. God our Father, we give you thanks for the gift of marriage, the bond of life and love and the font of the family, the love of husband and wife, of those who have been here, which enriches your church with children. It fills the world with a multitude of spiritual fruitfulness and service and is the sign of love for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his church. We ask, Lord, that you would reach down onto each one of these married couples who are here present, that you would renew within them this bond of matrimony that brings you into the very center of who they are, so that they can truly live out their vocation, which is to see you and that other, always and forever. Make it firm and strong, and so that in moments when they are weak, they may have the grace to turn to you and know that you're the thing which holds this marriage together. Lord God, do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.